My name is Anthony. If you don't know who I am, I'm the senior pastor here at Fellowship Church, and we are right now in the middle of our vision weekends. We're just spending 2 weeks looking at kind of who we are as a church, where we desire to go. That's what vision is. Vision is really a trajectory of something that you're aiming for. It's a vision of where you desire to be. Vision is also kind of who you want to be, whereas mission answers a different question. Mission answers the question, why do we exist? And we exist as a church for a specific reason, which I'll share here in a moment, but we need to have vision in where our lives are going. I had the opportunity to interact with some great people yesterday evening at a nonprofit fundraiser within our area, and talking with an awesome friend of mine who is just kind of wrestling about, you know, what's God's plan for my life? What's the next step for my life? And what I've kind of learned about life is I don't think we ever arrive. I don't think we've ever arrived from where we want to be. And so sometimes I hear college students say things like, you know, I'm not really sure what I want to do when I grow up. But I hear 40-year-old men in my own head saying, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And I hear 60 and 70-year-olds saying, I'm not sure what I want to do when I grow up. And that's what's so awesome about life is it's not stagnant. Is that God's always shifting and changing what he has for us to do. The main important things stay the same, but God always leads us into new seasons. And did you know that today was the last day of summer? I think that was like a month ago. But today's the last day of summer. And so this is a sad day, but it's a shift to a new season. And I believe that's what God wants to lead us into as a church and you into in your lives is new seasons in your marriage, new seasons within your jobs, new seasons within your own heart, new seasons within your mental health, new seasons in your health, new seasons in your family. And so I would invite you to embrace these new seasons that God's taking you into. And so last week, with all that, we looked at this big idea called why not us? Why not us? And when we looked at this idea of asking ourselves the question, why not us, we looked at our mission and our vision as a church, and that mission and that vision is taking us to a direct trajectory of who God is calling us to be. So I want you to ask yourself that question, that big idea, not out loud, but just in your heart today, why not us? Why can't God use us? Why can't God use my family? Why can't God use me to make an impact in the community in which we live in? And so with that, we looked at the mission, and here's the mission of Fellowship Church real briefly, and it might be worded differently at every Jesus-loving, Bible-teaching church, but every church that loves Christ, that follows Scripture, should have a mission somewhat like this, and our mission is just simply to connect people to an everlasting, committed relationship with Jesus Christ and with others. That's what we desire to do. We want to connect people with Jesus. We're not interested in connecting people with Christianity. We're not interested in connecting people with Fellowship Church. We're not interested in connecting people with any particular denomination. We'd like to connect people with Jesus. And when Jesus connects himself with people, then that connects people with other people. And so that naturally flows into connections within his church. And our vision is this. Our vision where we're going is we desire to be a multiplying movement of passionate followers of Jesus who impact our community and beyond with grace, love, and hope. We really want to make an impact with grace, the grace of God. We want to make an impact with love. We want to make an impact with hope. And we want to not just be, again, not something that's stagnant, but something that's moving, a trajectory, a multiplying movement. And that word multiplying is kind of like a trendy cliche word now, but we don't want it to be. Multiplying means that we see ourselves multiplying and moving into different areas within our community to reach different people within our community. And so if you're here today visiting Fellowship Church, if you're on the fence trying to figure out if this is a church for you, I just want you to know that we desire as a church to make an impact. We desire to grow. We desire to multiply. I was talking to some people after last week's service where we shared some of those vision, and they were like, I don't think we want to be a part of that. And that's fine. But I want to invite you, like, let's be a part of something great. Let's be a part of reaching people with the grace, love, and hope of Jesus Christ. And so we stated a very specific, audacious goal for our congregation that I really want you to be praying about. And if you are in a small group, if you're in a sermon reflection small group in particular, starting tonight and throughout the week, you're going to be praying about some of these goal points before we start our series on Genesis next week. And so our goal is this. We would like to, as a church, we would like to be actively reaching 0.5% of our metro population by the year 2030. You might think like half of 1%? Yeah, that's an audacious goal. Right now, our church is actively reaching 0.037% of our metro region of 410,000 people. We desire to reach 0.5%, not with something that our church has to offer, but with something that Jesus has to offer by his grace through faith, us being a conduit for people meeting Jesus. And we want to partner with the dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of great Bible teaching, gospel-focused churches in this area, arm in arm on the same team, reaching this city for Jesus. And I think that Fellowship Church can take part in 0.5% of that. And that's what we're inviting you to do. We seek to do that. We have some specific goals seeking to do that over the next several years, and that is to start multiple church campuses within our area. We're working actively now to start a church service in downtown Salem. I believe we'll have that by the end of this year. We would love to see us reach into areas like Woodburn, and we would love to see our church at least support, pray for, fund, do something to continue to reach the amazing Hispanic culture and population in our city. Last weekend, we had Fiesta Sundays, and Paula, our outreach pastor, said, like, hey, that was cool, but you didn't do a really good job of portraying why we did that. And I was like, thanks a lot, Paula. But some people are like, why do we sing songs in Spanish last week? Because we have a lot of people in our church that speak Spanish. Why did we have a fiesta party last week? Because we really appreciate that amazing culture. And our city is filled with the Hispanic culture. We want to honor that. We want to respect that. But we also want to continue to reach people for that. And so last week, if I didn't state it plainly, I apologize. But that was just kind of a stake in the ground of faith, that we, in faith, are praying for the Spanish-speaking population in our city, and we will actively look for ways to partner with them so that we can continue to reach everybody in this city, not just people who speak English. And so I hope that you enjoyed last week. Those of you who stayed for the lunch, wasn't that like the coolest band ever? That was really awesome. Like, that little boy can play the accordion better than any polka player anywhere in the world. That was pretty cool. And so those are our goals that we're seeking to do. And so some steps we're taking to drive a stake of faith into the ground, some steps we're taking is just we want to pray. We want to be praying for these things. Small groups will be praying for these things. Our leaders will be praying for these things. And one thing we're just doing in faith is starting October 1st, we just want to say our doors are open. We'd love to have open doors in the center of our city to be a place of refuge and a place of sanctuary where people can meditate, pray, and seek God's presence. But just we're saying, hey, out on Sunnyside Road at the edge of our urban growth boundary, we're just going to have open chapel Tuesdays from 9 to 12 and on Thursdays from 12 to 3. We're just opening up our church and saying, just come be. There's heat, there's air conditioning in the summer, there's prayer, there's no agenda, just come. And you might say, Pastor, I don't think anybody's going to do that. That doesn't matter. We're just opening the doors to make that available. And so if you are ever on your lunch break or you're on your way to and from town, if you just need some time of peace and safety and sanctuary and rest and prayer, just our doors will be open for you. Our staff will be around, but it's not so we can interact with you, it's so you can interact with God. So it's one way we're taking a step of faith to see that take place. Starting in November, we're going to be doing prayer walks around the downtown core of our city, targeting particular areas of our downtown core. Businesses, nightlife, state government, Willamette, the hospital. We want to bathe the downtown area of our city in prayer. We'll be doing that at least every other month on the third Saturday of the month. Is that what it says? Every other month on the third Saturday, we'll be doing that 9 a.m. And if you're like, I'm really not about prayer. Well, are you really a Christian then? I'm kidding. But if you're not about prayer, we're going to join each other for breakfast after that. And we'll just simply, those who show up to pray, rain or shine, we'll go and we'll have breakfast together and eat biscuits and gravy to the glory of God. Because God is pleased by having that stick to your ribs. So that's what we'll be doing starting in November. Something else I shared last week, and I don't think I gave enough context for, and this is very much a presentation, by the way, of where we're going as a church. So I know it's not as sermony as what you're used to, but one thing we're seeking to do this year is we're seeking for downtown office space. And some people ask, that's really awesome. And some people are like, why? Because not a lot of people come here during the week. And we want to have active presence in the center of our city to counsel, to pray, to have classes, to have small groups, to minister to people, and specifically to minister to the businesses in the downtown core. God's given me a personal vision of ministering to the businesses in our downtown core just to be a blessing to them, not to invite them to our church, but to be a blessing. How can we be a blessing for you in our downtown region? But there's a big reason I didn't mention last week why we actually need this office space. If you ever have walked around our building before, we actually have no office space here. And so we've got about 8 staff that work here throughout the week, most of them non-paid. So we have a modular building that we have our offices right now. And let me tell you a little secret about that modular building. There's no bathrooms down there. Well, why does the church staff need a bathroom? Trust me, we do. And but that's even not why. So that modular building is right at about 1,000 square feet. And for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've overflowed our kids' space. And we need more classroom space. And you'll hear from Paula and Bridget here in a little bit why we need more classroom space. But that building, we want to transfer as soon as we can into more space for older elementary students. And we need that space right away. But we also need office space. And I just declared in faith last week, like, okay, well, Pastor, what does that cost? Well, we've been looking, and the amount of about 1,000 square feet of office space that will give us opportunity to minister, going to be right between $1,000 and $1,500 a month to do that. We gain 1,000 feet of kid space, but we also have a better opportunity to minister. So that's something we're seeking to do. Next thing, we're putting a stake in our city to just proclaim in faith that we want to be used by God and telling God to use us however we'd like, is by the end of the year, we'd like to start at least monthly, but preferably weekly, downtown worship services. And so not an actual church service, but to start a downtown campus, we just desire to worship in the center of our city to let God know that we are open and available for him to use us to see great things be accomplished. And we're starting to wrestle with how can we do that? How can we make a space for our church to actively seek God's presence within the center of our city? And so each of these steps, those things, based on their effectiveness and based on their level of engagement, those will become success measures for us in reaching the goal of reaching 0.5% of our population by 2030. And so I shared last week what our biggest need is right now. Our biggest need as a church to see these goals take place is just, it's staffing. We need to bring on a at least part-time, but really need full-time youth staff here at Fellowship Church. We have some amazing youth directors, but they do this for nothing. They do this as volunteers. They actually give a lot to our church. And so we're looking to actively bring on some youth staff to actively minister to the families and the teenagers of our community on a regular basis. And so that's something you can begin to pray for, you can begin to give to. And then next, we actively need active worship director presence so that we can have our worship director available to us to begin to see these initiatives roll out. So you say, well, Pastor, what are the biggest needs we can pray for? It's staffing. Staffing is the biggest need that we have. And so we just encouraged you as a church that if this is your church, if you believe in this mission, if you believe in this vision, I want to encourage you to start tithing, to start giving God your first and your best through your local church so it can fund and resource the mission and the vision that God has given us. My wife and I, with some of our staff and some of our church members last night, went to this amazing fundraiser again in Portland for a great nonprofit, and people just stood up and said, who's going to give $5,000 today? Who's going to give $2,000? And there's like, me, we'll give all our money. And I'm like, Paula, tomorrow at your tithe talk, that's our strategy. I'm kidding. We know you might not have access to anything, but I want to encourage you to give what you can to fund and resource this church to be able to reach the objectives that God has for us. And so if you've never taken that step of faith with trusting God with your first and your best in your finances, I can't encourage you enough to do that. And you're like, well, I don't know if I want to do that at Fellowship Church. I would be more stoked as a pastor if you found a church where you could do that in good faith than to do it here. Like, it's not about this church. It's about you finding and experiencing the blessings of trusting God with all that you have. Amen? It's a blessing. It's a blessing to give more than it is to receive. And so some super practical things that we ask you to do as I wrap up this recap is we ask you just to show up. If it's raining, come to church. If it's snowing, come to church. Show up. We're going to be doing some amazing series this year that we want to teach you through the Bible. And so just show up. Be actively engaged in the church. That's actually one of the biggest steps you can take. Next, we encourage you to join a small group. We can't grow together unless we're together. And small groups happen together. And some people are like, I'm not really about being with other people. Well, God is. The Bible says you can't love God if you don't love people. If you don't love people, then you really don't love God. And so I want to encourage you to join and to be a part of small groups this year so that you can actively be engaged in the body of your church. We have small groups on Sundays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, in North Salem, West Salem, South Salem, East Salem, and all over the place. There's really a lot of opportunity to be involved in a small group. You can sign up on your app for that. We also ask you to volunteer. We have a volunteer fair after our service today. And we need volunteers, in particular for kids ministry. We need people to say, yes, I'll go. I will follow where God's directing me so that I can serve, not Fellowship Church, but serve the community through this church and do it for Christ. And those are some real tangible things you can do. And then the very last thing I talked about last week is this. We gave this particular card to you last week, and we forgot to give them to you today, actually. But when you walk out, back at our small groups table and information counter, there's these slips here, and it says, end of year special Christmas offering. And what we're asking you to do is pray about an offering you would like to give by Christmas, or at least pledge to by Christmas, above and beyond your tithe. And there's three specific things we're trying to pay for with this end of year special Christmas offering. Number one, we need to finish remodeling the bathrooms upstairs. If you have been to the women's bathroom before, you can say amen that you know it needs remodeled. Amen. And so, okay, put your money where your mouth is, ladies. We're only raising $5,000. We've got some people volunteering to do most of the work for free. We just need a lot of supplies. We'd love to remodel the downstairs bathrooms as well, but our women's and men's bathroom is priority right now upstairs. And so please give to that by the end of the year. You might ask, well, what's God putting on my heart to give? I know he's put on my heart to give. So I would encourage you to ask God, what can I give to do that? And if you're not tithing right now, please don't do this. I want to encourage you to begin to learn to tithe first, and then you can do this. But if you're tithing, this is for you. Consider how you can support this particular endeavor. Next is some safety upgrades for our building. We're looking at some safety doors for our kids' wing, defibrillators, some advanced first aid kits, and fire extinguishers throughout our building. There's some safety upgrades we're needing to make because we want Fellowship Church to be one of the safest churches you've ever been in, prepared for emergency and disaster. And then finally, real easy one is bouncy castles. We probably spend $2,000 a year renting bouncy castles. It'd be a lot cheaper if we just bought some. And so we're looking for buying some bouncy castles so we can continue to do community outreach with them, offer them to local schools, and use them for kids' events here. So that's my recap from last week. Those are some of the things we asked you to step up, to step out, and to step into what God is doing and ask ourselves the question, why not us? So here's the question again. Why not us? Why can't we do some of these things? And this is a question that all sorts of great people throughout history have asked themselves. Why not us? If you've read the Bible before, the book of Daniel, Daniel asked himself the question, why not me, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he was able to interpret? And instead of trembling in fear and not offering up the interpretation of that dream, he said, why not me? And he stepped up and he changed history. Jonathan, the son of King Saul, when his dad was being disobedient and lazy and not going to battle against the Philistines, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they woke up in the middle of the night and they said, why not us? Why can't we as two men go to battle against the Philistines? And they did just that. And they led the charge and they led the battle against the Philistines that his father would eventually join him in. Claudette Colvin, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr. These great black Americans, they asked themselves the question when they were faced with extreme injustice, when they were faced with extreme inequality within our nation, when they were faced with the obstacles of segregation, racial injustice, and racism, they asked themselves the question, why not us? And they led in a beautiful way to an American civil rights movement that brings recognition for all people. So why not us? My favorite why not us story is 120 Christians gathered in a second story of a building in Jerusalem 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus. They were gathering there. Jesus told them to wait for the Holy Spirit, and they waited. And when the Spirit fell upon them, they asked themselves the question, why not us? Why can't we take the gospel to the world? Why can't we make a difference to all nations? And they followed the teachings of Jesus with that question, why not us? And because of that question, you and I are here today. We would not be, I mean, we probably wouldn't have even been born. We certainly wouldn't be in this continent, and we wouldn't be in a church if those 120 people didn't ask the question, why not us? So why not us? And here's my little short sermon for today, and I'm going to have a couple people share with some things we're doing to reach our community this year that I hope excites you, and I hope that you want to be involved in. But I want to tell a quick story of the greatest underdog story of all time. And I need a kid who can read really well to be a volunteer, but you've got to know how to act like a total jerk, and you've got to know how to be super mean, and you need to know how to, like, scare people with your voice. And so any kid that wants to do that today, I'll call on someone if not. Like, it's Melvin? Okay, Melvin? Melvin's a pretty tough kid. I'm terrified of him. So, Melvin, come on up. Give Melvin a hand. Grab that stool right there. You're going to need it. You'll see. Why does he need a stool? That's none of your business, Melvin. Just say, why not me? Okay. Goliath, everybody. You ready to be Goliath? Okay, look. Those lights are bright. Just deal with it, okay? Don't worry about it. You don't do this, okay? It's bad for the camera. So, 3,000 years. Sit down on the stool. I'll tell you when I'm ready, okay? This guy went to a monster truck show last night. Yeah, okay. So 3,000 years ago, 1 Samuel 17, we find this. What are you guys laughing at? What'd you do, Melvin? You just focus on me, okay? Me and you, me, you, and Jesus, okay? 1,000 years before Jesus, 1 Samuel 17, this Philistine army gathers together against Israel. And they're under the command, Israel's under the command of King Saul. And at this particular valley, it's called the Valley of Elah, to the west of Bethlehem, the Philistines gather, and the way that war was done then is that oftentimes particular military forces would have these great champions of war, and these great champions of war would be like, hey, we're not all going to fight, we're just going to have a battle in the middle, like, dance off, and whoever wins, then we're done. And so the Philistines had one particular champion, and this man's name was Goliath. And depending on how we read the Hebrew of this text, it looks like Goliath was about 9 feet tall. Pretty tall, right, Melvin? Yeah. You think you'll hit it someday? See, my dream is to hit 6 foot, and I think I'm past that. But I think you're gonna make it, man. And so 9 feet or so, this guy Goliath. And so Goliath shows up every single day to taunt the Israelites for 40 days to go to battle. And so this is Goliath's challenge. The text is kind of small. Somebody give a microphone. We got it. This one? Check. Check. You better have the evilest, darkest, most foreboding voice you ever imagine, okay? So as Goliath went to check on and to challenge the Israelites, this is the words that he spoke. It's right here.
Why have you come out to draw up for battle? I am not a Philistine. And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let them come down to me. If he is not able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.
Tremble! I'm scared. He's going to say something else again, and you better be a lot meaner than that, okay, Melvin? Okay, pretend like you're arguing with your sister next time, all right? Okay, so you just chill out here. So Goliath offers this taunt to the Israelites. He does this for 40 days, and every time, just like I did, King Saul and all of King's forces, they cower in fear, okay? They're terrified of Goliath's voice. And so that's when David gets to the battle lines. Now, at the time, David is probably about 15 years old. You're getting close, right? Okay, so he's getting close to 15 years old, and he is being sent to the battle lines to check on his three oldest brothers that are deployed to fight against the Philistines. And what we may not know is that David's actually working for King Saul as a musician, but he's also working for his dad as a shepherd. And here, the reason that he actually gets sent, Melvin, are you paying attention? The reason that he actually gets sent to go to battle against the Philistines is because his dad wants him to check on his brothers, but his dad has a special treat for the commander of the army. Anybody know what it is? Cheese. David's a cheese delivery boy, okay? And if there is ever anybody that's going to go against a great obstacle in battle, it will be a cheese delivery boy. And Jesse, the father of David, he actually says, David, I want you to bring these 10 cheeses to the commander of our son's army. Like, there's not just one cheese, but 10 cheeses. Can you imagine the glory of 10 cheeses? Like, for Christmas, that's what you want, right? Mom, I don't want 9 cheeses. I want 10. Cheese Whiz, Cheese Its, Swiss cheese, cheddar cheese, Kraft cheese, cheese pizza, Cheetos. I need a couple more. What else? Cheeseburgers and... Were you invited to participate? It's me and Goliath here talking about our cheese. Cream cheese. Cheesecake. Philly cheese steak. 10 cheeses. Okay. So when David arrives, Goliath gives his daily taunt again. And as Israel is fleeing, someone says to David, so, why don't you read way meaner this time, okay? You're not the cheese boy, you're the giant. And so, just read that first verse, verse 8. Why
have you come?
Okay,
why have you come?
Yeah, yeah!
Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down and see me.
Okay. That's better, right? Give him a hand. That's better. Stay here. So he starts to taunt again, and somebody's like, hey, David, let me tell you about what's actually going on. And so 1 Samuel 17:25, the guy says to David, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in all Israel. And David says, hold my cheese. I got it. I can do this. Cheese fondue. I'm here. I want some cheese today. How many of you are lactose intolerant? Don't eat cheese. Okay. Actually, here's what David says. He doesn't say, hold my cheese. David says, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered David in the same way and said, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. And so his brother catches wind. You got a brother, right? His brother catches wind. His brother's ticked. His brother makes fun of him. Like, cheese boy, you can't defeat Goliath. You're here. You're not old enough for battle. He tries to shut him up. He tries to send him back home. He said, you're just a kid. You're just a shepherd boy. You cannot defeat the terror that is Goliath. And you see, you know that Christians look at the Pacific Northwest around the country and say, the church can't make an impact in the Pacific Northwest. Those days are over. You're not going to reach people for Christ in the state of Oregon. You're not going to reach people for Jesus in a city like Salem. You can't make a difference in this city or in Portland or Eugene or Albany. And so King Saul hears of this particular boy who's starting to ask questions. Like, why is he asking questions about Goliath? And so King Saul says, hey, I want to talk to David. Now, keep in mind, Saul knows who David is. He's his musician. And Saul said to David in verse 33, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. That's you, okay? Man of war, since you're you. Saul says, no one else can. No one else will. You shouldn't do anything about this. And David says, why not? Why not us right now? Why not me? And here's, I love what David says. David says this. He says, your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. He said, hey, God's come through before. God's going to do it again. How many of you, you're starting to learn that, starting to pick up on that in life? God's come through before. He's going to come through again. Why not? Why wouldn't he? He's done it before. He's saying the size of the obstacle doesn't matter to God. The size of my God overcomes any and every obstacle. And so here's what King Saul says. He says, go, and the Lord be with you. You see, that's just what Jesus told the disciples. Go make disciples. Here Saul says to David, just go and the Lord be with you. That's all God's doing, by the way. Saul wouldn't have told David to go. God speaks through Saul and says, go, may the Lord be with you. And so he said, go, and David, as we talked about last week, David goed. Why wouldn't he? I've got one more text for you to read, so stay here, okay? You and me, don't distract people. You and me, okay? You know, why can't God? So Saul begins to clothe David with his armor. Saul begins to give him the best, most advanced, most expensive weaponry and armor that the Israelites had ever known here in what would have been, I think, the Bronze Age. And so he's putting on this armor on David. And essentially, if you can imagine, like, hey, if you want to succeed, David, you've got to do it like everybody else does it. If you want to win, you've got to do it like the other people do it. If you want to make an impact, you've got to do ministry like every other church does in the exact same way. You better conform and do things the same, because God loves conformity and homogeny and wants everybody to do everything the same way. Is that what God loves? No. God actually values diversity and uniqueness and skills and giftings and callings for certain people and leaders in churches. And so David, he puts on the armor, and he's like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't fit. This isn't me. So instead, David took what he already had, and here's how I end this message. David took what he already had. He gathered his staff. He gathered a sling, a pouch, and he went down to the river, and he gathered 5 smooth stones. I asked our pastor of operations to get me lots of round river rock this week. What? No, not, well, maybe just one, okay? But if I asked you to order me a bunch of round river rock, would you order this? Okay, I didn't think so. No, Ladina does a great job here. Thank you so much. Give Ladina a hand. I didn't even think anyone was going to order it. So she ordered it. She listens to my crazy ideas and like, I'll do it. And so here's these 5, I've got like 20 smooth stones, but it maybe not been that much bigger than this. So 5 smooth stones. These stones are real smooth, by the way. And so 5 smooth stones, he goes and he grabs. It's good. Okay. You see, so he takes those 5 stones and he makes his way to Goliath. And here's what I want us to know. God gives us exactly what we need to go against the obstacles that are in front of us. We don't have to put on other people's armor. We don't have to gather other people's weapons. God has given you exactly what you needed. God's given you your hard times, not himself, but he's allowed them to happen because those hard times, the lions and the bears, are experiences that God will use to destroy your enemies. God gives you things so that you can go boldly against the obstacles in your life. You might not have a sword or a javelin or a bow or an arrow or a machine gun, but maybe you've got a sling and maybe you've got a staff and maybe you've got a pouch and there might be some smooth stones around you that God's just asking you to pick up and to start using. You see, he gives you everything you need. 2 Peter 1:3 says, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Melvin, church, myself, God's given us all we need. God's given us all we need according to his glory and his excellence. So you can charge against your giants and obstacles, empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit. And so Goliath sees the boy coming. This is your last chance, okay? Goliath sees the boy coming, and I know it's probably not OSHA approved, and I may have to fill out an incident report, but can you stand on the stool?
Yeah.
Okay. It's all right. I'll catch him. Okay. We got video proof of it? Okay, good. Trina, have you signed a youth group permission form? I got you covered. Okay. So Goliath sees this boy coming with a pouch. He sees him coming with a staff and some stones and a sling. Grab the microphone. Okay. And here's what he says. Here, it's verse 43 and 44.
I am a dog.
Well, hold on. You're Goliath. You want to destroy Israel. Am I a dog?
Am I a dog? You come to me with this.
Keep going.
It sticks. It's not on.
No, it's on. It's on. You just keep reading, Goliath.
And the Philistines cursed David by the gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beast of the field.
So what? Why not me? Okay. So Goliath sees the boy come and taunts him. And so when you start coming against your obstacles, the enemy is going to fight back. When you come against your obstacles, the enemy is going to have all sorts of things to say against you, but the enemy doesn't have teeth. The enemy is all bark. He has no bite. He has no power because you belong to Jesus if Jesus Christ is your Lord. And the enemy is going to come against you with all sorts of things. They're going to try to dissuade you, but don't listen to your enemies when they try to dissuade you. Keep going and keep asking yourself the question, why not us? And so that didn't stop David. David would say, I know no one else can. I know no one else will. I know no one else can overcome this obstacle, but why not me? And he says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, and all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with a sword or a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. So we know the rest of the story. David takes the one smooth stone, takes it into his sling. He uses what God's given him. He swings. He throws and it hits Goliath right in the head. Go for it, Melvin. And David says, I don't have a sword. Well, I'm going to take Goliath. And he defeats the giant. Give Melvin a hand. He did great today. Melvin, did you get a workout? Because I did. So David takes Goliath, knocks him out, because he just simply said, why not me? Church, I want to invite you into battle this year. I want to invite you into battle this year. I want to invite you to make an impact in our city. And as we do so, I want you to know God's already given us all we need. He's given us all we need to do it. And it's in our hearts, it's in our hands, it's in our pockets. He's given us what we need. And I want to invite you to go on that journey. And I'm going to invite up our pastor of outreach, Paula Lehman, and our This Generation pastor, Bridget Freshour, to share some stuff with you guys today.
I'm not sure as, how we're going to follow that, Bridget.
As Bridget's coming up, just to make clear, Bridget's taken on a new role at our church. She's no longer just our kids director. She's our this generation pastor, which means that she oversees all ministry from the cradle to college. And so if you could be praying for Bridget in this new role, she's got some great leaders working under her. And this year, we're going to make a huge impact for this generation. So give Bridget a hand, and Paula, they've done a great job.
Just knock those on the floor. Let's just throw them. Bridget, I'm not sure how we're going to follow that. I mean, I planned a wrestling match. Hi, I'm Paula, the pastor of outreach here at Fellowship Church. And this is Bridget, our pastor of this generation. I wasn't listening. So I have quite a bit to talk about, and it's 10:45, so we're going to cruise through it. But I just wanted to share first, Bridget didn't know this, surprise! Bridget, I'm so glad you're up here with me, because I was just reflecting this week, and you have been kind of, you've been there for every big moment for me at Fellowship Church. So when I came to Fellowship Church and I had a lot of church hurt, it was Bridget who showed me this community was full of grace and love and hope, and I was actually really annoyed at how much I liked her. That's subsided. And then when I decided that I was going to be on staff here before I talked to anyone, I talked to Bridget, and she encouraged me. And then just the last 3 months, Bridget and I have had a lot of conversations about how we can use her gifts and her ministry, and we can use my gifts and my ministry to really reach people for Jesus. So I'm just really glad that you're up here. It's a big deal. You're welcome. On your seat, you should have had a timeline that looks like this. I worked really hard on it, so I hope you look at it. I'm just going to talk really quickly about some things that we have done in the last year. So in April, we hosted a 2-day trauma-informed care seminar, and we had professionals from a couple organizations, some therapists come, we had foster parents, and we were just able to open our building, and you may not know, but trauma-informed care is really taking over the nation. So we got to stand out as a faith community, understanding that trauma-informed care is very important. We hosted 4 community events, the Trunk or Treat, a free community Thanksgiving dinner, an Easter egg hunt, and then we just recently hosted a back-to-school bash. And with that back-to-school bash, we were able to give out 10 backpacks full of supplies, and we were also able to take quite a bit of school supplies to Battle Creek Elementary, which is that direction, and it's our closest elementary school neighbor. And on the first day of school, 3 of us just showed up, and we just kept bringing in supplies, and it was a testament to them that we support them and that we are there for them. We averaged about a food box a month, and some of that was for people in our congregation. Some of that was people that we have met through an organization called Pole Gyms. And those boxes were just no questions asked. People would reach out and say, hey, I need some help with groceries. And we would get them groceries. And it was just a great time to go and just to let them know, like, Fellowship Church loves you and Jesus loves you. And ultimately, he provided this food. And then we also launched a Safe Families team. And so Safe Families, Jerry will be here later today to talk about Safe Families and how you can be involved in that. I would encourage everyone in this room to find a way to be a part of our Safe Families team. It is a preventative measure for families who are in crisis, and it connects them to community, because many families in crisis are, they're not in community, and they're, what's the word I'm looking for? Set apart from people, and that is what causes the crisis ultimately. And then the last thing that we have done is we have started doing some trainings, starting with our staff, and then these trainings kind of trickle down. The Partners in Prevention is one of those, and then we are working currently to get our staff trained in some anti-sex trafficking measures so that we can recognize when that may be happening in the community and that we can effectively minister to survivors. And these trainings are really a passion of mine because I believe that if we are called to be followers of Christ and we're called to be fighting for souls, then we need to be fighting in the darkest places, such as human sex trafficking and child sexual abuse. So you'll continue to hear about these training opportunities, and I would encourage, again, everyone in this room to take those because it doesn't just protect our church. It empowers you to go into your jobs and into your homes and your neighborhoods and to protect those people around you who might not be able to protect themselves. So that's what we did last year. And we are going to continue to build on those things that I've mentioned, but we're going to continue to add things. So outreach is applying to some grants to fund some projects. And we, Bridget, myself, and Anthony, and our whole staff, really, we just decided that we had big dreams, and we were going to apply to grants to fund them, but we're going to do them no matter what. So we are applying, and we are looking for ways, creative ways, outside of this room to fund these things. But what Bridget and I are going to talk about today is happening, and we are believing in faith that God is going to provide for it. So October 1st, Anthony has already talked about this. We're going to have this open chapel, and that'll be 2 days a week to start with. My ultimate heart for that is that Fellowship Church will eventually have a place that is open 24/7. And people in crisis can come, people who just need some quiet. I have twins who are 2, and I would just like to sit in a quiet room and eat lunch. so I'll be here. But just to have this place of safety and of refuge and of sanctuary for our community. And then, where am I? I'm at the mom's group.
I'm going to talk about the mom's group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So October 15th, here at the church in likely the nursery, but depending on how many people we have, the classroom might change. But we are going to start a mom and toddler play group. That really stemmed from me and Paula wanting to have our boys together and involved. But it's going to be for any moms with any children between like babies to, I guess, 4, like until they're in school. And it'll be at, what did we decide, 9:30 to 11 a.m. Wednesdays? What does it say? Oh, it's Wednesdays, Wednesday morning, starting October 15th, from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we're going to provide coffee and little breakfast snacks, and it's just going to be a time for moms to come and let their kids play and hang out. There's no real agenda other than just getting to be in community with each other and letting our kids connect. So if you have a child in that age group, please, please, please come. We would love to have you.
And I'm really excited about this because I know some moms who don't go to our church, and moms in the room, you know it's hard to set times up to play. So this is such a great time for me to be able to invite, and you, to invite people to come into our church and experience love without inviting them to a church service. So I'm really excited about that as well. And then we're going to move on. October 31st, we're having our second trunk or treat. And so last year, our trunk or treat, we had about 200 families, but we probably served between 800 and 1,000 people. And we ran out of candy, and it was a lot of people. But it was so fun, and we were just able to show people that we're here and that we love them in the form of candy. So candy's a love language. So that's going to be 4 to 6, Thursday, October 31st. It's going to be here. You can sign up to host a car or to donate candy. Seriously, we need lots of candy. You can do all of that through the app. And then you're next. Oh, wait, no, I'm next. And then in November, last year we started doing this thing called Orphan Sunday, and it's just a time that we come together and we recognize our global and local orphan population. And it was actually the first time that I ever spoke. And I'm really passionate about our local orphan population. And so don't miss that day. There's going to be ways that you can be involved in orphan care that aren't fostering or adopting, some ways to get your toes wet. But it's an important day, and this is an important population that the church is called very specifically to minister to.
The next thing on our list is our Thanksgiving meal giveaway. I'm actually going to tie that together with our Christmas meal giveaway, so sorry about the slides. It might be a little off. But in the past, if you've been a part of Fellowship Church, we have done a Thanksgiving meal that we've hosted here, which was really effective in our old community. But we found that it wasn't super effective in this community, and we really want to make an impact on our neighborhood, and we really want to help people during the holidays. So we've changed what we're doing, and we are trying to put together, I don't know how many meals. I should probably read that. Look at that. Needed 10 turkeys.
So we're doing 10 meals, but we will be doing five. We will be providing them to five families, five at Thanksgiving, five at Christmas. So 10 meals total.
The biggest thing that we are asking for is for gift cards, because what we would really love to do is we would love to provide families with the ability to buy their own kids Christmas gifts instead of a church coming in and giving them Christmas gifts, for kids to see that their parents have done it for them, that they're not just getting gifts from a church. And that's super impactful for older kids especially, to see that their parents work hard and their parents are doing the best that they can. And we really, really want to do that this year. So if you're able to give towards this, this is a huge blessing in our community. So think about that as we get closer to the holidays.
Yes. And then in December, I will be officially submitting a grant proposal for a 3-year grant. And this is a grant that we've been talking about a year, and we've been praying about, and Bridget and I especially have really been honing in on what we want to use this money for. So you can just be praying over that, and be praying that God will guide the committee who gives that grant to whoever needs it the most, and that he will provide no matter what. And then we'll be doing the Christmas meal giveaway the week before Christmas. And then on Christmas Eve in the morning, we are going to partner with Room in the Inn. And this is I'm going to call DJ Vincent up because he can actually explain it better. So this is DJ Vincent, and he and his wife run Room in the Inn. We are looking for 12 to 16 volunteers who will come, and we're going to serve breakfast to some of our homeless population. So DJ, I'm going to let you share about that.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for inviting me here and acknowledge that what we see this as this year is actually you continuing to partner with us and serve in this way, because actually Lance and Judy Baker have been an incredible blessing to this effort. And my wife and I have been so encouraged by the way that they love people and the way that they serve. And so as a part of the invitation, I just want to give you a picture of how did we end up being a part of Room in the Inn, because we really see it as, you know, God letting us do something beautiful for our neighbors experiencing homelessness. So about 11 years ago, we were just a little church plant, and we decided in the summer that we were going to serve this potluck meal out at Cascade Gateway Park. And we thought, you know, we're going to be really heroic and do this thing. And so we shared this meal and we prayed for a few folks. But right after it, one of the gals in our group just spontaneously said, you know, a passage has been laid on my heart. And it was Luke 14. And the passage goes, when you give a banquet, Jesus said, don't invite your friends or your neighbors, because they're going to invite you back. But invite the poor and the crippled and the lame. And in that way, you'll be really repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And we realized in that moment that that day had been the first day that we'd ever been obedient to those words of Jesus. And we decided we were going to try to continue to be obedient. And so that turned into a meal a month and then a meal a week. And right now, it's 4 meals a week out at Cascade Gateway Park. And One of the things we were taught by Jesus in that is this isn't a ministry to or for homeless folks, but it's a ministry with those who are experiencing homelessness. And so most of those four meals are provided and served by folks experiencing homelessness. And so in that spirit of just wanting to do, not just do something, but do something beautiful, Room in the Inn came about 9 years ago, where we thought, you know, we want to help people at Christmas. The first year, we just brought a bunch of gifts out, and it was one of the ugliest things that we'd ever seen. We saw people fighting over things and disgruntled about people getting different things, and we thought, that's not what we want to do. And so we thought, what do we want at Christmas? And we realized, we want time with our family. But what if you don't have family? What if you're isolated? What if you're feeling alone? So we decided on the Christmas holiday that we would throw a retreat out at Aldersgate Camp for 3 days and two nights, and we would share family meals, and we would do things that we normally do around Christmas. And the first year, it was, you know, it was very humble. It was the churches already serving, and it was about 40 folks who came out. So last year, about 220 folks showed up as a part of Room in the Inn. But about 280 people as a part of the Salem, you know, faith community also showed up to share in family meals, to really listen to family stories, to just honestly pray with people about the challenges in their life. And I could sit up here and tell you story after story of what's happened in those 9 years, but I basically just want to invite you to now be a part of it, to come out, share a meal, come out, listen to stories, pray with people about what's next in their faith journey. So just one story because of time. There was a woman named Sherry, and we'd really struggled to connect with her at Church at the Park. She was living in her car, and other people would take food to her. Finally, she decided to come to Room in the Inn. I don't know why, because it's more relationally engaging than just the meal. But she started sharing the meals with us. People started praying with her. And at Room in the Inn, she accepted Christ. And so she was baptized just right there. So then by the next year, she'd invited like a dozen more people that she knew to Room in the Inn. And through that, some of those folks are now serving meals and are on our leadership team. Again, because God does something pretty special in this 3-day relational engagement that sometimes we don't even see week to week out there at Church at the Park. So again, thank you for already partnering with us, and we look forward to how that partnership is going to grow.
So you can sign up to be a part of Room in the Inn in our app, the FC Online app, and DJ and his wife will be in the back with Judy after service, so you can talk with them if you have any more questions. And then Bridget, it's you again.
Oh, just kidding. Okay, sorry. So in January, we are going to start a remodel downstairs in the kids' wing. And I think partially up here, we really want to make our building ADA accessible because there's a lot of dreams that we have and a lot of things coming that I'm going to touch on later. But the remodel for all of that stuff would start then. We're also wanting to build a sensory classroom, and I will touch on that later. But the remodel for that would have to start in January. So the donations that we're asking for, the grant that we're asking for, would help fund a lot of this. So we're praying for that. But if you feel on your heart that this is something that you would like to give for as well, it's a huge, huge deal. So like I said, I'm going to touch on it later, but that is just when the remodel for what we're looking at would start.
And then in February, we are hoping to officially open our clothing closet. I have been collecting clothes for a year. And by collecting, I mean I said once that we were going to have a clothing closet, and you all started bringing me clothes. And it's awesome. But I need, I don't know if you've seen the cargo container outside, but that's where the clothes are stored. And it looks like a serial killer lives there. So we would like a nice shed with windows. Have you seen sheds? They're real nice. I'd like to live in one. We would like a nice structure with lights and maybe some heat and some windows that people can come in. And we want to set it up like a store. They can just go in. They can pick their clothes and their size. We are also going to have some things like school supplies and probably some diapers and some baby formula on hand, because those are things that are often needed as well. Back to you, Bridget.
So last year we had our very first Easter egg hunt at this property, and it was insane. We saw so many people come through that we didn't expect, and I feel like we hardly advertised for it. Is that true? Yeah. But every time we turned our head, more and more people were pouring in, and it was incredible, but we were a little unprepared. So this year we are expecting that we'll have the same turnout, and we would love to add egg hunts. Last year we only did two, and we had so many people that we could have probably had six or more, and filled a lot of time slots and done that. And we had bouncy castles and face painting, and there were just, everything had lines, like, just backed up across the parking lot, across the field. It was amazing. We have the space to host that, but we need to do more this year to make it work a lot better. So for that, we're going to need candy, we'll need eggs, we'll need volunteers. So when we get closer, we'll be talking about it more, but just put that in your calendars, know that that's coming up, and that is it literally was 90% people from the community that we were able to bless, if not 95%. It mostly wasn't even our kids from here. So it was really incredible. So we would love to do that again. We are doing that again this year, but we would love to do it better. So,
and things like the Easter egg hunt and the trunk or treat, those are the events that we are using the bouncy castles at. And to rent two bouncy castles is between $300 and $500 each time. So even just purchasing one bouncy castle, it does make a difference, and it does help in the long run. And it's still you.
Okay, so it has been on my heart for a long time for our church to be equipped to minister to special needs students. We have in the past had a lot of students come through just with, you know, disabilities or things that we aren't quite equipped to handle. And it breaks my heart every time it happens, because they come through those doors and my automatic reaction is, what can I do? How can I help? But there's been times where we don't have the space. We don't have the trained volunteers to help. So we see that kid one weekend and then that family doesn't come back. And you will hear that at the majority of churches that you go to. Either that people have no idea what to even do when a kid comes in a wheelchair, and they're like, well, we only have stairs. We can't do anything. We don't have enough volunteers. We can't help you. And you see parents out in the lobby because their kid is making noise in service, or parents who are leaving a half an hour early because they just can't handle it anymore. I want to see parents coming to church on Sunday, whatever situation of life they're in, whatever disabilities or abilities that their kids have, that they can put them in kids' church, they can come to service, and husband and wife can hold hands and be in service. So my heart and my passion is for us to be able to launch a special needs ministry. What we need in order to do that is a sensory classroom. I do have a video about that, but before we watch that, we would need to turn, I call it our big ugly classroom downstairs. It's been my storage, it's been you storage, it's been a million different things since we moved here. But we would need to turn that into a sensory classroom. And it would be more than just for students with special needs. It would be a transitional classroom. If maybe we have a student on the autism spectrum who comes and they are more than capable of being in our regular classes, but maybe they just need some tools and some help before they can move into that, it's for us to help them and equip them and equip our teachers. But it's also for maybe we have a student with behavioral issues and they're just having a moment where they need some space. They need some quiet time. This classroom would give them that. We'd say, okay, we're going to go take a break. We're going to go cool off. We're going to calm down. Instead of having to page their parent, instead of a parent having to come down and be in class with them, or instead of that student having to come up here or to leave. We've had that happen before, too. I hate seeing that happen. I hate having to page parents if it's not for a dirty diaper. I want parents to sit in service and to be filled, just like I want the kids to be filled. So this is a huge need. It's huge on my heart. But I know some of you are like, I have no idea what a sensory classroom is. I have no idea what that means. So I have a video that we're going to watch that kind of explains the direction we're going. So turn your eyes to the screens.
I know as soon as I start talking, it'll start playing. So I'll just chime in with my bit here is that by providing this service to families in our community, it empowers us to do other things on our campus. So one thing that I have wanted since we've moved here is a playground, and Bridget approached me and was like, hey, that playground needs to be all abilities. And so this allows us to show grants and other organizations like, we did this, we've been faithful with a little, so now we need much. So,
and on top of that, I'll talk about the sensory classroom in a second, but if we had the ability to service kids on Sunday with a sensory classroom, it would give us the ability to open it up to the community during the week, and that mom and toddler play group wouldn't just be for our children. It would turn into a place where parents with special needs students that aren't in school, they don't have the means to have the supplies that we have at home. It would give them a chance to come in during the week. We'd have open hours where they can come in that sensory classroom. It would be staffed, and they could play with their kid in ways that that kid needs. We would have swings. We would have, I wish this video would play because it was so perfect. It had so much stuff in it. But basically, a student who is on the spectrum suffers from a lot of sensory disorders. And so a lot of times, if you've worked in any realm of special needs education or anything like that, you'll have students who are running into walls because they just need that pressure. Or if you've heard of heavy weighted blankets, sometimes students with autism just need that weight to calm them down. There's just a lot going on inside of them that they don't know how to handle themselves, and this classroom would be something for them to just decompress and calm down. They can't a lot of times just sit and breathe like we can. They need extra help, and this classroom would do that for them. There's a lot of other things. My mind is going blank, but
by opening this up to the community during the week, it also allows those parents who are often isolated and going through this kind of on their own, it allows them to come into community with other people who understand and can empathize with their experiences. So is that video going to play? Nope. Okay. Do you have the picture of the All Abilities Playground? So hopefully this time next year, I will be announcing that we will be beginning to put an All Abilities Playground on our campus. I did have a picture. Okay, we're just going to move on. So the next August, we are going to do another Back to School Bash. My hope for this is that more people will attend. This was a smaller event, but one amazing thing was that everyone who came, they stayed, and they visited, and they interacted with other people who were there, and that's not typical at the events that we've had in the past that have been larger. So my goal for this Back to School Bash, though, is to give away 50 backpacks to community members, and then to double our supplies that we take to Battle Creek. And I would actually like to take supplies to another school as well, just continuing to open ourselves up to our community. And then in August, we will be having a missions trip to the Philippines. And Stacy, I'm going to call you up to talk about that.
Hi, I'm Stacy Cardoza. I am the Director of Missions here at Fellowship Church. 3 years ago, we took our first mission trip to the Philippines. We have been supporting Alan and Lourdes Tracy for years. And if you don't know them, I encourage you to get to know them. They're amazing people. They started or continued a church that Al's mother had started in the Philippines many, many years ago. And he's been faithfully over the years going down there. They live there part-time. Right now they're here in the States. His wife is, Lourdes is Filipino. And they have this wonderful little church on an island called San Jose. And not only do they have that church, but they have been part of starting multiple churches in surrounding islands. And we went 3 years ago. We have not gone back as a team, but we've had members of our congregation be so affected by what they saw and felt down there that they've gone back individually over the last couple of years. But I feel like it's time for us to go again. It's time for us to show that we want to be a part of that. The Philippines is a very warm, hot place to go. It's very humid. The water is beautiful. It's crystal clear. We get to spend time in the water. I think every day when we went, we swam every day, and that was, the water's so warm. It's nothing like the Oregon coast. It's fabulous. The people are warm and friendly, and they're humble, and they're hungry. And the church down there has done an amazing job with reaching the kids, and they have great kids' ministries. But you know what? The adults are tired. The women are tired. The men work hard. And so we're going to be able to go down, and we're just going to be able to come alongside of them and partner with them and bring some encouragement. They have some huge needs, and you're going to be hearing about this over the next year as we get ready to prepare to go. One of them is their building. We have a building remodel, and it's important. And, you know, I use that bathroom every time I'm here, and that'll be great to have our bathroom remodeled. But their church is literally cracking at the walls and falling down, and the roof is not safe. And they've had earthquakes that, you know, if they happen to have another earthquake while they're having church service or their kids are inside, it's going to be a tragedy. And so we want to partner with them in some of the repairs that they need to do down there. Not just the bathroom, which I'm so thankful we're doing, but so their walls don't fall down. And other churches in some of the neighboring villages, they're actually losing. And so they're going to have to rebuild some other churches. So there's lots of opportunity. There may be opportunity for just leadership to encourage the leaders there, to work with the parents there. There may be medical opportunities. That's when I talked to Lourdes this past week. I said, what do you need? What would be helpful? And she said, medical. Could we have nurses come down? Could we put together some supplies? They need diabetic supplies. They need high blood pressure medicines. They need cuffs to check your blood pressure. They need support in that. It's not even available. Like, I'm not saying that it's hard to get to. It's not available. They can't get to it. So what can we do to come alongside of them? Those are some things that we're going to be working with. I have an interest meeting planned next Sunday right after church. If you have any interest at all, whether it's going or whether it's just finding out, how can you be involved? How can you support them? What can you do? Maybe you don't have money to commit, but you can commit to prayer, but you want to know what to pray about. Please come to the interest meeting. It'll be right after church next week.
Thank you, Stacy. I'm going to invite the band back out, and I'm going to shut it down. Let me take this. When I came on staff 3 years ago, and I literally walked into Anthony's office with my own job description and said, nicely, you're going to let me do this. And he graciously added more to that job description. I love this job. I love being here, and I love finding organizations in our community, and I love bringing them to you. I love this. And this is what God made me to do. I have no doubt that God designed me to be here to bring outreach to Fellowship Church. But I need help. I need people like Bridget who have gifts that I don't have and passions that I don't have, and to come and say, we need to do this. And then I need people to come and just support. So we presented a lot of stuff today. And you don't have to be involved in all of it, but please be involved in some of it. And I'm excited for this missions trip, but mission starts at home. And if you do not love the orphans in your city, you cannot go across the world and effectively love their orphans. If you don't love the diseased and the addicted and the people experiencing homelessness in your community, you cannot go halfway across the world and love those people there effectively. So I think everyone should go to the Philippines. I think we should all be involved in missions. We're called to missions, but it starts in our community. So take these timelines home. Pray over them. Ask people to pray and begin to cry out and see where God wants you. Okay? And he will call you to things that use your gifts, that use your personality type. And he has already equipped you to do these things. And it will pull you out of your comfort zone. I do not like to talk to people. Networking is terrible. And that's part of my job. And I've gotten better at it, and I have seen God give me the skills to do it and give me the peace. Okay, so it will pull you out of your comfort zone, but it's so worth it. And I am praying for our city to experience revival like none other, and I do think that we will start it. Why not us? So I'm going to pray, and then the worship team is going to lead us in some songs. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would fall, that your spirit would fall in this